With tonight's commandments, especially the seventh and the ninth and the tenth commandments, we've kind of come full circle on all ten commandments. The first commandment, you might remember, is you shall have no other gods. And in the seventh, ninth, and tenth commandments, what we learn about is that these commands inform us, they assert that this one God is the God of and the true Lord over all the goods of the earth. And so to fear and love God is to know that He cares for us, that our needs are something that is always on His mind, and that all that we do have is something that He has blessed us with. But when we do not fear and love God, when we do not trust in Him as we should, our tendencies then are to turn towards another God, to seek after our needs, to seek for our needs from another place. This is what we do when we turn somewhere else. We give something else other than God our fear, our love, and our trust. This other God that we turn to is a God that captivates us. And He allures people of all time, of all places, all cultures. And this God covets our worship. He entices us to give it to Him by causing us to then covet other things. This false God gives us eyes that press against storefront windows, seeking after stuff. It gives us mouths that drool at the right kind of 30-second commercial. It gives us hearts that long after the possessions of other people. He causes us to fear when our needs are not met. He causes us to love Him when we see that these needs are met, but we don't attribute them to the right place. He captivates us. And as He captivates us, He holds us captive. Even if we play by the rules of society and economics, this God can take control of our hearts. He will hold us captive. And once He holds us captive, He will get us to go further and further and further. He will cause us to desire and to grab after what we don't have, to lust after those things, to lie for them, and if need be, to steal them. He creates in us greed, and therefore then a need that can never truly be satisfied. When we are captive, He pushes us further and further. If you were to search the internet for a picture of what this God might look like, you'll get plenty of pictures. Oftentimes, as I was looking, it's a big, fat, demon kind of a God with money bags all around Him. And the name that, it's an old name that is often attributed to this God, that name is Mammon. Mammon. In the simple Greek New Testament, that word is just wealth. Stuff. This is the God of stuff, or even maybe better said, the pursuit of stuff. And the seventh, the ninth, and the tenth commandments especially guard us against stuff. Because things happen when we love and we trust someone other than the one true God. Things happen. We look to other places. We look to other things. And usually, especially in our culture, that stuff is stuff. We desire other things. It begins by coveting. As the ninth and tenth commandments are about, it's about coveting that stuff that we don't have. It might be our neighbor's wife or our neighbor's husband or all our neighbor's property, their house. We long after it. It's that the grass is always greener on the other side kind of thing. We long after what we don't have. We like the pickup in our neighbor's park or driveway. We like the addition they put on their house. We like the boat that's sitting out front. We long after these things. The more we long, the more jealous we become of them. And we get to then a point where we might scheme about how we can get these things. And maybe that scheming starts and stays innocent enough where it's not so much going out and literally stealing from our neighbor. Maybe it's just devising ways where, well, how can I save enough to get this and that? How can I get more and more and more? And it seems innocent enough. But it becomes our focus. And then we love and trust in something else. Taken far enough, of course, we get to a point where we might be more dishonest, where we break the ninth and tenth commandment, and then we break the seventh as well, where we go out and we steal. We take that which does not belong to us. It all comes down to this. These last commandments really do point us back to the first. You shall have no other gods. And as we read in the Gospel of Matthew, we hear Jesus talking about this very thing, that you can't serve both money and God. You can't serve mammon, and you can't serve God. It's one or the other. It's kind of mutually exclusive, as Jesus tells us. And when we are serving mammon, when we're serving wealth, when we're looking after these things, we tend to be worriers. We get anxious then. We think about what we don't have, and sometimes those things we don't have are very important to life itself. We worry about the clothes that we don't have, or that our kids don't have. We worry about the food that we don't have. We worry about the drink we don't have, the property we don't have, but need to be sustained in life. And the more we worry, the more our minds are off of the Lord. And so in this passage that Jesus gives us in the Sermon on the Mount, he reminds us just how valuable we are. He points to nature and he says, well, doesn't the Lord take care of these sparrows? Doesn't the Lord take care of these flowers? If the Lord takes care of these small, seemingly insignificant things, will not the Lord also take care of you? You might ask, well, how precious am I to the Father? And all we have to do is look up to the cross, because that's exactly how valuable you are to God. Valuable enough that he would die for you. And if this God who sends his Son to die for us, a gruesome death on the cross that we'll be hearing about this coming week, if he would do that for us, will he not also see to our daily needs? In fact, Jesus invites us to pray. When he instructs us to pray, he tells us to pray for our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. The Lord cares for us. What's important, too, about this commandment, though, especially as Luther describes it, he tells us again the negative. Don't be stealing. Don't be going after your neighbor's things in dishonest means. But instead, he gives us the positive, protect your neighbor's stuff. Help them preserve what they have. Look to how you can help them keep their things in order, to have even a good relationship with their spouse, with their kids, so that they all maintain in a good and healthy environment. God has arranged this world in such a way that as human beings, we are to provide that daily bread for other people. God has blessed you in a way and has designed this world so that his daily bread that he wants to give to others, he gives through you. That table out there where all that food is the perfect example. The food pantry down on Main Street is the perfect example of how those who have provide the daily needs in God's name for those who do not have. Our call tonight is to know that God cares for us, not just for our sins, but for our daily needs. And as he cares for our daily needs, he desires to use you to provide for the needs of others, to improve, to protect your neighbor's possessions, his income, to defend him in every way. As Christ was a good neighbor to us, so we are to be good neighbors to others. Let us pray. O gracious Father, all the good that we have has been given to us by you. Help us, O Lord, to trust, to love, and fear you, to know that you are the giver of all good things. Free us of worry and the anxiety that comes from feeling like we don't have enough. Sometimes even legitimate fears when the next meal or the next paycheck might not come soon enough. Free us from our worry. And help us too, O Lord, to be sensitive to our neighbor's needs, to know that you have blessed us that we might bless others, that our neighbor's next meal might only come when you have inspired us to give it to them. Help us, O Lord, to fear, love, and trust in you above all else. We pray this in your name. Amen.